Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Do you find yourself wishing you had more energy, healthier habits, or fun family activities? At the YMCA, you can find your passion, find family fun, and find your happy place, all while supporting your community. Join the Y in March with a $0 enrollment fee and enjoy motivating group exercise classes, heated pools, pickleball, and so much more. Visit ymcadc.org to learn more and to find your nearest Y in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia today.
What's up, family? It is that time of the year again. That's right, I'm talking about tax time. So attention all business owners and high-earning individuals. We have something special for you. Take control of your finances with the tailored tax planning services of Magnolia Tax Services. Their team of experts specialize in maximizing savings for individuals and businesses by utilizing the latest tax laws and strategies. On average, they save their clients $17,500. So contact our partners at Magnolia Tax Services today for a consultation, and you receive $100 off of your services. Use that link below or go to blackwealthrenaissance.com/taxes.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends. Family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you. Then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you. Let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't gotta be super smart and gotta know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever it is.
It's good if you wanna be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money by income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste something food on place.
Welcome, everybody, to another amazing installment of the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. It is your guy, David Bellard. We are live in Houston, Texas with my brother, Jalen. How you living, brother?
What's good with it? What's up with it, man? How you doing, dog?
Dog, I'm doing fantastic, man. Had to wake up early, make a little trip down.
Man, yeah, man,
start popping down.
You know,
this time,
what it do?
I done came down.
Oh, we gonna put out a beat this morning.
No, man, I'm doing good, bro. Good week, always great whenever we get to come in and pod, bro.
Yes, sir. You? Man, I'm doing good, dog. Good week as well. Find out some stuff. I'll reveal it later, but it's a good week and stuff like that, man. It's cool.
This is up. Well, y'all already know, man. As well, I let you know, you tapped in with your favorite show. You a wealth builder. You've been listening to us for a while. You know how we get down. Make sure that you leave us a 5-star rating and review. It helps us continue to grow the show. Y'all know today we got another phenomenal guest on for y'all. I'm super excited about this one today because this is a brother we met actually at the Black Men Summit. Like, officially, you know, like, you know, you meet people online, you talk and stuff, it's cool. But then you meet people in person and that energy is different. And ever since we locked into the Black Men Summit, bro, been a real great asset as a person, real helpful in educating us, our community. And man, glad to have him on our show today. This is a brother that respect, a family man, really a pro at taking and leveraging different streams of income and funding to create different streams of income. Our guy that he created, what it was, 6 six-figure businesses, at Soloff too, still operating, folks. Man, I got none other than our guy, Mr. Malik Champlain. How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, what's going on, Kings?
Doing
what's
good.
Up with it, my brother? Thank you for joining us.
Man, listen, the pleasure's all mine. I appreciate y'all for the work that y'all do and the platform. And look, I'm here to show up and drop gems.
Always, bro. I already know.
Let's get to it.
Well, Malik, man, I know I gave a brief introduction, just kind of let people know about your story and kind of who you are, what you do. But one of the big things I think we're just having conversations that people really want to learn about is funding, right? We're trying to get Black businesses funded, trying to get them in the door so that we can continue to grow. So I just want to start off with, like, what's the number one thing that Black businesses need to get to have funding, to be prepared to get funding?
Yeah, 100%. Well, one, I know we usually jump into everything that you need for a bank and what you need, looking at like your credit profile and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I would say number one, you got to have a business plan, right? You got to have a plan of action of what type of funding you want, what you want to do with the funding, because when that funding source might ask you some questions. Now, we have some revenue, some ways that you can get funding that's no doc. And what that means is that you don't have to show tax returns. You don't have to show bank statements or revenue from from your bank. But what we want you to do is have a plan so that you know where you're going with it, just in case, right? If you're giving somebody some bread, you want to know, right? And like the bank want to know what you're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. So number one, have a plan. And if you are struggling to write a business plan, right, and you think maybe it's a little comprehensive, start with a SWOT analysis. Right? And when I mean SWOT, that's SWOT.
And that's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats.
Yes. And that's very simple. Just what are the strengths that you have in your business? What are the weaknesses? Like, hey, look, there's some partnerships we need to add. There's somebody I need to add to the company. There's employees that we need to add. Maybe the market's a certain way. Looking at opportunities, right? Let's be optimistic. Hey, where are the things that, like, where are people winning at right now? Mm-hmm. Where's the revenue coming in? Where are you doing your market research? To be like, hey, look, you know, these people are making this type of income by doing these things successfully. Or is there a gap? Is there a problem that you can solve in the industry, right?
That everyone else isn't doing.
Yes. And in that type of innovation. But that takes thought, right? So before you're in it, because once you're in it, you know how it is. It's like a storm, right? And it's hard to be in something and work on something. Mm. So then we get to the threat, which is good, but I don't want you to stay there too long. But you want to recognize your threats, which is who are other people in the street doing something very similar or at the same time even doing the same exact thing, but not with the sauce, not with the, you know, the sense of urgency or what it is that you bring, right? So having that, but getting into what you can do now. What you can do now is first look at your personal credit profile.
Okay.
What I mean by that is when you have your personal credit profile, right, what does your credit score look like? Not just from a number standpoint. And what I mean by that is we can look up our number, but when you look up your number, you want to look up your FICO. Thinking about
at your Vantage.
At your Vantage. Now,
don't go on Credit Karma and think they'll show you got their own credit score.
Correct. So, but when you go on Credit Karma, what they're good for is a lot of times they tell you some credit cards that you have available.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell you like your utilization, what's popping up, but you don't want to look at the score because you'll mess around thinking you have a 720.
Walk in the dealership. Ma'am, your shit is 420.
Yeah.
Not so, 420.
So, yeah, because you want to go ahead and look at that FICO score.
Yeah.
And then, so you want to make sure you know what your credit score is, but also what is the types of diversity of credit you have? And what I mean by that is you want to look at the age of your credit, right? Do you have credit cards open, right? And I like to have at least 2 credit cards open, at least $5,000 on each credit card. That's something that's starting to show that you have about $10,000, right?
And this is all on the personal side.
It's on the personal side.
So the reason you're doing this on the personal side is to get the banks to kind of start looking at you differently?
Yes. So a bank is going to look at your personal credit mm-hmm. score before they go ahead and lend you something in the majority of time on your business side. So especially if we're starting out.
Okay. I was saying, even if it's like no personal guarantee.
Ah, I like that. So when you have no personal guarantee, that's usually when you're starting to get into corporate credit.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, when you're a startup, a lot of times, well, I'll bring it back. Banks like to fund on the three C's,
mm-hmm.
cash, credit, and collateral. So in the beginning, a lot of times you don't have collateral. And what I mean by collateral, you probably don't have a car in your business name or a house in your business name. You probably don't want to, maybe you have something in your 401k and we mm-hmm. can do some 401k IRA lending or some personal stock lending and we can do those things. And I do that with my team and we help people get funded that way. But a lot of times you don't have that in your business. So they have to look at your personal stocks, your personal IRA.
Okay.
So then
that's still the same as personal guaranteeing.
Correct. And that's more of that secure guaranteeing.
Okay.
Right. So that'd be like any type of funding that would be, wouldn't be unsecure funding. That'd be secure.
Because there's collateral.
Correct. But on the other end, then you look at cash flow. If you're a starting business, you might not, you probably have either no cash flow or you have limited cash flow. So but you need some equipment. You need some things to get the cash flow going.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get lending off that. Then they're going to look at your credit. Now, if you haven't built your business credit up, which we can get to,
mm-hmm.
They have to then go and take a peekaboo, and they're either going to go to a hard inquiry or a soft inquiry on your personal credit profile.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Now, when they do that, right, and they want to look for a mature credit profile. And what I mean mature is, do you have a mix of credit? Do you not have all, like, having credit cards with different companies? Maybe having a Chase, having a Bank of America, having a U.S. Bank or something like mm-hmm. that.
So like a mix of revolving credit cards.
Yes.
And does that, when you say a mix, does it also mean like installment loans, like store credit? Does that all count toward it? Or
I wouldn't necessarily say store credit, but yes, revolving loans,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a mortgage, maybe even a car payment, right? Having those things. Now, if you have multiple cars, that's gonna mess your debt to income ratio up just because it's more like debt. But even like having a mortgage and having some time in, building some equity, they're going to see those things as a mature credit profile. Because mm-hmm. I have people come to me and they're like, "Hey, I got an 802. Great, but all you have is revolving credit.
Do you find yourself wishing you had more energy, healthier habits, or fun family activities? At the YMCA, you can find your passion, find family fun, and find your happy place, all while supporting your community. Join the Y in March with a $0 enrollment fee and enjoy motivating group exercise classes, heated pools, pickleball, and so much more. Visit ymcadc.org to learn more and to find your nearest Y in DC, Maryland, or Virginia today.
So it's like you have an 802, but your only experience is with this one type of credit. I don't know if I can trust you in this realm.
And that's high risk, because at any point in time, you can go on a spending spree. There's no equity tied to it. There's nothing that they can come grab.
I got you.
You feel what I'm saying?
No security type.
Yeah, it's unsecured credit.
Correct. So now that can make you, right, that actually can hurt you if you have too much of it, right? So keeping within like that 20 to 40,000 is always great and like revolving. Now, you can get more than that if you have other, like, I have some things in my name, right, that I can go ahead and be like, hey, like, I got equity in these things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a home and I got $200,000 worth of equity in it, right, they're going to look at some of that and go, like, we good, because they can go ahead and put a lien on it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're thinking risk. So that's when you have a bank. Sorry. So after you're looking at those things, you're looking at, right, obviously your utilization.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, right, a lot of my clients that are coming to us, they're going into business first, using up all their personal credit,
mm-hmm.
using up all their savings,
hey.
Cashing out their 401k, and then they're coming and asking for help.
Whenever they use their cash and their collateral and their mm-hmm. credit before they could actually tap into the business credit.
So correct.
I want to, you said the term corporate credit, and a lot of people talk about business credit. What is the difference between those two? What is the difference between corporate and business credit?
Man, that's a great question. So good. So when you have, so I'll give you an example is that when you have business credit is like, you know what? Y'all two like each other, probably got love for each other. But David, how many loans you co-signing for Jalen? Zero.
Love you, my brother.
Yeah.
So but that's a zero.
So with that, right? I want y'all thinking about the idea that when when you have a business, it's its own person.
Mm-hmm.
So that entity, when you personal guarantee, you're you're co-signing for it. So every time you PG it, my fault, fellas. So every time you PG it, you're co-signing for that business. So thinking about that, I want you thinking about the fact that now how you can eventually over-leverage yourself. So you got $100,000 in business credit cards. You have another $50,000 in lines of credit, but maybe the income isn't there in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You can over-leverage yourself. When you think about going from business to corporate, what corporate is that the business is standing on its own. Mm-hmm. And the way I like to put it is that when you first start a business, it's like a baby, mm-hmm. right? I think about my son. And you got to feed this baby, right? You got to do everything for it. So you feed it with your own income to start the business, right? And a lot of people do that. Now, because the business can't stand on its own. Then he starts to stand.
Yeah, it starts walking around.
Right. Then becomes a teenager and then becomes an adult that can pay you back. Mm-hmm. And when it's an adult and you've built up that business credit profile, now that adult can take out its own loan.
It can go get its own $50,000 loan. It won't be over leveraged because your business would have been grown to the size where mm-hmm. it can actually sustain that.
Correct.
Okay, so that's the business credit side. Was a corporate.
Right, so now once you build that business up, now the corporate funding, right, is that you're gonna go through really four tiers. You hear people talk about, but like there's four tiers of corporate credit that you're going to get to, which allows the business to get the EIN funding. EIN meaning, right, employer identification number. So when you get this type of funding, you never put in your own social security number. So think about any credit card you've ever got.
You have to put your social in.
Yes. Unless you're getting like something like the Divvy card, right? Or you're getting another corporate credit card that's only going to take your EIN. But even when they ask you, so sometimes these lenders are going to be tricky too. When you're getting those starter vendors, when you get into those retail vendors, those fleet vendors, they might still have it on the application, right? Social security number. Just don't fill it out. Put your EIN number in and then do right, you're gonna do corporate funding for those things. So now what happens is it creates a business credit profile for your business. Remember we just talked about having your personal credit profile would be mature?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You wanna grow the maturity of your business credit profile. So in the beginning, right, because you don't have much, yeah, you can get office supplies. You can get, mm-hmm. Right, they talk about Uline, Granger, they talk about eCredible.
Those still do work, right? Because I've heard mm-hmm. people say like, Uline or Granger, they're not actually building business credit. Same thing with like gas cards. I've heard that like mm-hmm. with those, you're not building business credit all the time. Like it depends on the terms of services, right?
Well, I would say this. When you get into starting your EIN, your Duns & Bradstreet, and you start a business, mm-hmm. unlike your consumer credit, you can go and we can look it up for you and you won't have anything reporting until you get trade lines. So these trade lines, they report, right, to Duns & Bradstreet or Experian. So Uline, right? They report to Duns & Bradstreet and to Experian Business. And when they report, they give you a net 30 term, mm-hmm. which means you had to pay them within 30 days. However, we're always going to tell you, right, in business credit, which is different than personal, with business credit, you want to know that early is on time is late.
Say that again, Paul.
Early is on time and on time is late. So an example I'll give you is the most known business score rating is with Duns & Bradstreet called your Paydex score.
Mm-hmm.
Your Paydex score goes from 0 to 100. If you pay on time, you'll get an 80, right? Which is good, but not great, right? But if you pay early, you can get a 90 or 100 Paydex mm-hmm. rating, which all Paydex says, it doesn't say anything but how you pay your bill. So when you get these net 30s, I often tell people, hey, pay that within 10 to 20 days. Pay it early. And the way I like to relate it is this, right? I own real estate. So I have tenants that pay me. When I check my bank account, I got some tenants that are my great tenants who pay me on the 26th, 27th of the month. Then I have other ones that pay me on the 1st. But if you pay me on the 26th, you're great. If you pay me on the 1st, you're still good. You're just not great. Mm-hmm. Right? Because getting it early, you're like, ooh, I like that. Right? Mm-hmm. Getting it on time is good, but it's the same thing with the bank. It's about risk. It's not good or bad. It's about risk.
Seems less risky if you're not waiting till the deadline to pay every time. You can just pay whenever you have the money.
Right, because a lot
of shows... Shows you have a surplus and that you're able to meet your debt obligations.
Yes, because you have some tenants who will pay you on the 9th. Right, because for us, at least I know where I'm at, you get 10 days. That's your grace period.
Yeah.
And they use every day of that grace period.
Wait, so you don't get late fees and shit?
Hmm?
Y'all get late fees?
Oh, you do. Right, but you get 10 days before I put the note. I put the note on the door.
Okay, I got you. I say, wait, 10 days and they ain't paying the late fees.
Bro, I'm about to say, man, y'all do it great up there.
That's not that California shit. You know, California, you say it's hard to get rid of people.
Look, I'm in Connecticut, and it ain't too far off.
Yeah.
Right,
but I don't want to take the conversation off the rails.
Back to what we were just talking about, like the Paydex score, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of actually building the business credit side or corporate credit side. And the reason why I'm asking, because are they interchangeable, the terms?
Okay. Yes.
Or do they have different stipulations?
I got you. I think that's a great call. They are interchangeable, as in for what's reporting on your credit. But when a bank is looking at something and they're looking at like the maturity of what you have, they want to see a mix. Right? Because when you think about a question people have to ask themselves is my business healthy?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if a business is healthy? Well, one of the main factors is that how reliant is that business on the owner? Mm. And number one, from like a payment standpoint, when you're thinking about, hey, are you still as an owner putting the majority of the money in there yourself from your W-2 or your savings? Or is your credit providing most of the credit for the business? Those are things that tell you, right, that you have a business that isn't as healthy as it should be. Mm-hmm. Then what happens is you go to being like, hey, let me go ahead and get some business credit using my personal guarantee. Once you get out of that personal guarantee, though, then you go ahead and get some corporate credit, meaning that I'm completely removed and the business has to be relying on itself. So they're going to see that mixture, and that's what you want. You want to be able to get to a place because later on, the goal is to get bigger amounts of lending. And like, you know, right, the holy grail of lending is SBA lending, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And they're going to look at your personal. They're going to look at your collateral. They're going to look at your cash flow. And they're going to look at your credit.
Your Paydex and your FICO.
Is that mm-hmm. the four pillars of corporate credit?
That would be from like at the top level, yes, right? They want to know, they're going to do a peekaboo at your personal credit to see how mature it is and where you're at. Just because, right, your personal credit really is to be honest with you, is a look into like who you are,
mm-hmm.
right? Into your character, I would say.
I do agree. I think a lot of times when we have conversations about credit, people kind of be like, you know, that never pay off your debts train, that type mm-hmm. of stuff. Like, legally, you're not obligated to pay the debts. And I've always looked at it as like, I mean, yeah, you can say that,
yep.
but what type of person are you, right? Because if you go and accrue a bunch of debts
mm-hmm.
and you don't feel like it's your responsibility to pay it back, mm. what does that say about your character as a person? Mm-hmm. And to me, like, it's like, okay, I went make all this money. I went borrow these PPP loans, but yeah. now y'all want the money back. Oh, well, I can't give it to you. I spent it and you didn't do nothing with it. Like, you know.
Well, first and foremost, that's why I said start with a plan.
Yeah.
Because most people are going to come here and just want to make money off you, right? And they're gonna get you there, pull, drag, or tow, right? People got adverse business credit. I'm going to get you a merchant cash advance or something like that. You're getting 36, 40% interest on a loan that's going to be takeout weekly.
Jesus.
Right? So you see.
That's the payday.
You said 36 to 40?
Sometimes higher.
Jesus Christ.
And I've seen it because that's expensive money. See, what we do is we teach you how to get cheap money and high limits. And the idea is that the reason why I said SBA is a holy grail is because you could look at something, let's say, like I said, a merchant cash advance. You can go get $50,000, $70,000, right? And you got, let's say you get $50,000 in a merchant cash advance. you might have a weekly payment of $1,500, $1,800, $1,800, $2,000. Let's say $2,000. That's your weekly payment, right?
That's a big stress.
You're paying $8,000 a month.
What a loan.
And they're getting it directly from your account, right? So now, for that same amount, you can go get you something, right, for $250,000 to $400,000, right, and get the terms with SBA and get a way lower rate.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, and be paying half that. You're paying $3,000, $3,500 a month for the same thing. And it'd be like a commercial property. It'd be something that, you know, an equipment that can bring you in something for like construction or whatever it is you're trying to do. Like, you beat interest rates with term. Hmm. That's how
you
like
spread it out long.
Yeah. So every time someone's coming to you and you're like, you're looking at it, try to spread it out as long as you can. Why? Because it doesn't put the pressure on you, and then you can always pay it off faster. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if you have a mortgage, like, I get it. You want to do a 15-year? Do it yourself. Right? One of my favorite books is The Automatic Millionaire. Add an extra 15, 20% every time you pay. Right? Like, a simple goal.
Don't pay it off in 15 years.
Yeah, if you pay an extra 10% every time, if your mortgage is $1,500, you pay an extra $150, so you pay $1,650 every month, you'll knock off 8 years off your mortgage.
Crazy.
Right? So, like, just even something simple like that. But when times get slim, because it ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if you ever written an income statement, right, and you do your balance statement, right, like per month, you gotta understand, yeah, right, that your stuff ebbs and flows. So sometimes it's like, all right, cool, we're gonna be a little more conservative this month or these couple months because we in the season. And the other times you like, look, we doubling up on payments, right, because we in a place where we can do that. Mm-hmm. So it's about, but I'm big on options. I always want my people to have options.
So. And I'm guessing with the terms, most people will hear that and be like, well, are you going to pay more interest? But you just talked about just paying it off earlier, and then that interest really just won't affect you.
Yeah. Like, it just similar to, like, I remember I didn't get my first truck I got, right? We have a trucking business. Mm-hmm. And the first truck I got, interest rate was like 8.5%. And then it was just like, all right, cool. And we were just getting up and started. And then the minute that I understood, got some better lanes, got some things moving, then I was able to go ahead and be like, all right, cool. I'm putting an extra 500, putting an extra 1,000, right? And then now we doubling up. And then I messed around, had the truck paid off.
Hmm. Hey,
right? And then we were in the place where then we went and got two more trucks, right? Like, but with that, we were able to leverage credit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to use my cash because I didn't need to save all that cash to go ahead and buy two more trucks. I use credit to buy income.
And with that, I guess when you say using credit to buy income, because you already had the truck, did it make it easier to qualify to get the other two? Because you could show, like, on paper to the banks, like, this is the cash loan. It's not like your truck is collateral, but you have the experience.
No, it is collateral. That's collateral. And then, you know, you can show, look, hey, I got $30,000 in the bank account. Right. Or I got some bread here under the business. And then I've been making my payments early. Right. Because one of the things that we get jammed up on, especially with gas cards or even with certain payments, is not putting them, once again, automatic. Don't think about it, because what you don't want to do is get it. People tell you, go get that gas card, go get that that BP card. Right. But then what they don't do is allow you to go ahead and understand that if you don't pay it on time, they're going to hit you with a big charge. Mm-hmm. And it's going to look funny on your bank statement. It's going to look funny, right, on when you're trying to go get another loan, right, because it's going to mess with your credit score. So you want to make sure, look, I'm just going to automatically pay these things.
That's smart. So I also kind of want to get into some of the things that you might hear on the internet, right? Like, some people say, hey, you can start a business and then you can get funded,
yeah,
you know, automatically.
Mm-hmm.
How are people doing these things? Like, is this legitimate? Like, what's going on with
I just, you mentioned trade lines earlier.
Yeah,
I mean, that, like,
they're purchasing a bunch of those. Like, what's going on?
Trade lines.
So I would tell you this. Most people come in, and when they meet with me and my team, right, my business is You Leverage Capital, right? And when they meet with me and my team, what they say is this. Everybody wants a line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So unless, you know, some people have certain relationships, but unless you got 2 years in, for me, we're not getting you a line of credit, right? So that means we're going to do some more. We got to do a lot of no-doc stuff because you don't have it. However, there's ways that you can, with strategy and planning, right, you can go ahead and get some funding that you need to start that business. Mm-hmm. So an example is, right, we helped somebody recently out of New York with a trucking company. Mm-hmm. This guy drove trucks for 20 years. You know, he wants to go out on his own, be an owner operator. So he's starting up the, you know, he wanted to get everything going. He said he needed $20,000. So what we did was, but he had his credit up. So he had a credit about like a 720. So at like a 720, that's good. And he had some things that was mature. He got rid of some things on his credit profile. He had a good mix. So what we were able to do is we actually got him about $25,000 worth of funding, right, based on what he had. And when I mean funding is that we got him 0% credit cards, which we were able then to go ahead and cash out.
So you were able to cash out the entire credit card?
Correct. We got him three different lines.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say he got between $7,500 to $10,000 per card. So we got him three different lines. And then we were able then to go ahead and put that into his business bank account. But he needed to have his personal credit right. And then you got to go ahead and make sure that you're bank compliant.
And yep. Let's talk about bank compliance. What do you mean by bank compliant?
So what I mean by bank compliant is that there's credibility, your business credit profile has to be bank compliant in a way that when the bank sees it and they look into how you set your business up, that is set up in a way where funders want to give you, they're not looking at you low risk and they want to give you high limits or higher limits than they would.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're thinking about what kind of name do you have? Mm-hmm. So he wanted to do transportation in his name. And I was like, let's calm down.
Pull the brakes.
We actually looked for a consulting business mm-hmm. that he was able then, right? So we had another LLC that we started with him that we were able to go and get money into his trucking company, right? So with that, we were able to go ahead and fund it, right? Because you can do that. So we got him funded, so he's able to use that for technically his trucking business. So then we went ahead and looked at the name. You want to make sure it's not high risk. You also want to make sure with the name that it's actually available, right? That you're not using something that where the trademark is taken, mm-hmm. where even in your own state it's taken, right? Because that can jam you up down the line.
Yeah.
People get confused. They don't know.
You don't want to have a name that's super similar to another company. Like
correct.
If I'm New Res, I'm New Res with an S. I don't need a New Res with a Z. I might get
right
some type of, I might get jammed up that way.
No, 100%. Right? Because you've seen it in the personal side, right? Yeah. You know, junior and senior get caught
that's
up.
That's a fact.
Right?
I was junior. They called me for my dad shit all the time.
You feel me? So I think with that, then you really look at like, man, look, what's your, and we heard these things before, but like, what's your business address? And I get it every time. You can use your home, but it's going to be higher risk. You're not going to get as high a limit because you look mm-hmm. more like a mom and pop.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an address, and the address could be like, you know, you have a local.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Regis account or DaVinci or Alliance, or if you even have like a local like workstation place, right? Like an incubator business spot that they offer it for like $30 a month. Sometimes other virtual locations offer like 50 or 60. Or if you might have your own brick and mortar, you make sure you use those locations and also keep those things up to date. Because when you started your business back in 2018 and then you moved your business, the problem is that you didn't tell Dun & Bradstreet. You didn't update the Secretary of State. And now you have a brand new location and you might not even be in the same state. And you ask them for funding, but what they see is two different locations. And then what happens is most,
red flag,
90% of businesses don't get funded because of fraud.
Are you a small business owner looking to grow and expand your operations? Are you tired of all the gurus promising getting rich quick and then offering no results? At Black Wealth Renaissance, We understand the unique challenges business owners face in securing funding, and that's why we're excited to offer comprehensive funding solutions in partnership with ULeverage Capital. With ULeverage Capital, we've given you access to the Business Credit Builder, which is a powerful software that walks you through the process step-by-step of how to build business credit and guarantees you will secure the funding you need to grow and expand your business. Visit blackwealthrenaissance.com/funding today and get started on building your business credit and securing the funding you need to grow and expand your business to the next level. Again, that's blackwealthrenaissance.com/funding.
So when applications go in, mm-hmm. it's more about fraud. Hey, these things are online.
You got this address, but you say you're doing business over here.
Correct.
Big X.
Right. And it doesn't match, right? It doesn't match when you put it over here in your Secretary of State, or it didn't match. Another big thing is, like, when you're going for some of these cards, making sure that when people are like, hey, I see this all the time, but like, and then I get it from clients, is that you might go and get you a Sam's card, but you had the lady behind the desk put all your information in. Tell help, swing it around, I'll do it myself. Or when they say, hey, can you check this? Really walk through and check it. I can't tell you how many times you've had everything set up the right way, but you asked someone else when you went into the store, you went into the bank, you had someone else put the information in for you, and you didn't check it thoroughly.
And when you say they didn't check, like, it's just like slight misspelling, stuff like that?
Yeah, misspellings. Maybe they put it wrong. One digit off of your EIN number.
Zip code.
They put the wrong NAICS code, right? So, like, now those things, zip code, right, those things look like fraud. And it can be that simple for why you got denied something, right? So it's just like when you're going down, you're also looking at, right, like, do you have a website with a simple description, a way to receive payment, a way to maybe even, like, bring in, you know, collect data for, like, emails or something like that. But just, you don't need a website really nowadays, man. You need a landing page. I'm going to be a sack. Like in the beginning, you need a landing page.
Yes. Somewhere where people can come, see who you are. And if need, they can click to get into your list or purchase your product.
That's it. And shout outs to GoDaddy. They got a real simple website builder. And, like, you might know somebody who got a connect that could do something for you. I got a web developer in Atlanta right now just because of, you know, I've been doing it for a while. But, like, eventually building that relationship helps you, especially when you're when you got to make those, right, those changes. But just in the beginning, get a landing page, right? Just, it's simple. But just really going through and making sure, right, I know people know it, but making sure you have an EIN, you have a Duns & Bradstreet, making sure that those addresses and everything align with your Secretary of State. Just keeping those things up to date. And that said, NAICS, right? Your North American Industrial Code Systems. That tells the bank, that tells everybody exactly what you do for work, exactly what your business is, right? And I think that's extremely important. So when I talked about funding, right, the truck driver, right, for his truck, we were able to get him funded at 0% for 12 months. So now we got him to 0% financing for 12 months. Now we're able to go ahead, right? And I know I said before, like, I'm somebody who likes to open up multiple LLCs, but even if you just had one LLC, right, you could start a trucking company and not use transportation in it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I could have Malik Enterprise, you know, it could be David's Holding, or, you know, yeah,
whatever. As long as it doesn't have, like, so I know you mentioned transportation. I think you said other high risks we spoke about,
like,
before.
Yeah.
Real estate.
Yeah.
Gambling is another one.
Oh, that's a big one. Cannabis, right?
Cannabis.
Now, now it's just very specific banks work with cannabis, but we only get you as much lending as we can, right? So, like, that's one. Restaurant business. Very specific banks work with that, but we want to get you as much lending as we can, especially, like I said, in the beginning. Because once you're cash flowing and you have collateral and all that, those things don't matter as much.
So I guess a thing that I kind of want to put out with that is you can name your business one thing for, like, you know, the state side.
Yeah.
But you can always do a DBA to actually, you know, say, hey, you know, this is where my business is, so you can get this corporate funding.
Yeah.
But you can do a DBA and have your actual restaurant or transportation, whatever you want to do on that side as well.
Mm-hmm. And we see it all the time, right? People who own certain franchises.
Apple has a DBA.
You feel me? That's what I'm saying. So, and think about people who own franchises and stuff, right? It's like, oh man, we know this family, they own, like, all these McDonald's, right? They own the McDonald's, but they're doing business as, right? So, like, just making sure that we're looking at that. I think, like, and how important that is. But for him, getting the 12% was important because if you have something that can bring you back a big return in 1 to 2 years, then this is a great product for for you to use.
0% for 12 months. I mean, you got 12 months to go run it up and get that money back. Mm-hmm. Once you get the money back, you can pay it off. Like you said, pay it off over time. Interest-free for 12 months. So look,
it's interest-free for 12 months.
That's a win.
And it is, right? Because if you're doing real estate, if you're getting something like trucking, if you're going there's so many different, like, if whatever the play is, if it's going to give you your cash-on-cash return mm-hmm. back within 12
months. Back to, like you said, having that plan in the beginning.
That's it. And it's just having strategy, right? But if you don't have a strategy, then don't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've learned is that, like, I had a couple people who, in the beginning, it's like, hey, look, I got this great idea. And I'm like, look, we all adults, right? I explained it to you, you know what's up. Nowadays, like, I like to, like, talk to people more and be like, hey, like, what's your plan with this? Like, what you got going on? And see if I can add value. Mm-hmm. Right to their plan, or I can give them some structure to like what it looks like to be like, hey, look out for these things. Think about like where you're getting this revenue from, right? Like, because even in trucking, it was like, hey, look, well, I'm just gonna go out there into the market. All right, but what does the market look like right now? Like, if you're in trucking right now, you know the market's rough.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a dedicated lane, you got to connect. That's different, right? So maybe you need a partnership. Maybe you need to get in with somebody. Maybe you got somebody you can lease under. That's a different, right? And it may be sometimes having a plan B. Right. I know when I first got into trucking, man, listen, I had a dispatch company that was like, yo, I could get you going. And I was dead set on that. And then it didn't work out.
Mm.
What was the pivot?
Yeah. Because now you can't just sit on it. You got this truck now. Can't just sit.
You got a bill that's got to be paid.
You feel me? And I think, and this goes to the other part is that, right, we have a lot of entrepreneurs, not a lot of business owners.
Mm.
Right. Entrepreneur. Right. There's entrepreneurs and then there's entrepreneurs. Right. Like, there's like the fact I want to get into this. But then as an entrepreneur, you have strategy, right? You have the idea of like where you want to go. There's multiple things that you want to do. There's a way that you're going to run systems. You're going to have standard operating procedures. You're going to have KPIs. You're going to go through and have monthly, quarterly, biannual meetings and stuff like that.
You're going to be doing the work on the business, not just the work in the business.
Correct. However, right, it just know that don't just – people want – right, they want the – they want the rhythm, but not the blues,
mm-hmm.
right? Like they want the success, not the sacrifice.
Yeah, right? Both.
And
Frankie Beverly said it: joy, pain, baby.
You feel me?
Trying to tell you.
And you gotta embrace the suck. And when you go in, understanding like, yo, I'm embrace the suck. When you go in, just thinking I'm gonna embrace the Instagram post, right? They're like, oh, I gotta show people. I want. You gotta know who you are first. You gotta know why you're doing this. Right, your why has to be bigger than the goal, mm-hmm. right? You have to be dedicated to something. Like for me, like my why is the fact that I got 3 babies. Mm-hmm. But why is that every morning I wake up to my wife? I have a family. I have a legacy to build. Right, that's a why. That's bigger than whatever they're talking about. So when business punches you in the face, right? Mike Tyson said it best. Right, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. What you gonna do? Right, we talked about it before. Right, first trip on my truck.
Yes.
My
man,
right? He left like
1,000 miles for you,
500 miles from the house, right? I'm in Connecticut, he in Virginia, right? He get there late, then as soon as he leaves, 18 miles away, the truck break down. I get to a shop, I fly him home because they said, hey, it's gonna take a week or two. As soon as he lands, he like, yo, I quit, I can't do this anymore. I ain't got no
anymore.
Backup.
It's just the first drive.
I ain't got no backup. I ain't got no CDL, right? I'm a fleet owner. I'm not a, right? And some people will say, why didn't you go get your CDL, your Class A? Because just like in the E-Myth, if I got my Class A, like a lot of people, then I would go right back to being a technician. Mm-hmm. Because I went into the business and said, I'm not getting it. And I have no problem getting it. And much love to people. But the idea is that I'm going to manage this until I can become the entrepreneur where the business can run itself, right? And when you are in that position, you make yourself have to figure out how to run the business from a strategic lens.
You got
to
be a problem solver.
Correct. And that's what an entrepreneur is, though, for real. But you then have to be a business owner where you have to lead people.
And create the system.
Correct. And create the system.
That culture.
And listen. And that's where it comes down to. So then it was like, yo, at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, you find out who the real hustlers are. Right? We got, look, you're an entrepreneur, you're a hustler, you're a problem solver. So when you find out when trouble comes, you find out who the real hustlers are, right? Like, how are you going to figure this out? How are you going to get about this? How are you going to make $1.15? But you know where we come from. So the idea is that, like, because I can't go home and tell my wife, like, I can't do it. Right? I can't go home and tell her that. Bro, I got to figure it out. So we gonna figure it out one way or another. Like my brother Neil says, right? It got to work.
It's going to work or it's going
to work. Right? And I think that, like, that's a strength of ours. So we got to leverage that. So within 3 days, I hit Facebook, I hit the team. I was working with a recruitment company at first. But within 3 days, my people's just off the referral. And that's the other thing, right? Giving irresistible offers. Yo, look, I'm giving somebody a stat. If they save me for 30 days, you bring them here, I give you $1,000. But that's also why you got to have your funding together. Mm-hmm. Right? So when push came to shove, right, we had that happen. We went 3 days, interview somebody, or I had three has an interview, hired somebody, flew them out. They were down there a week later. We back on the road.
Solving problems. But that's a business owner's mindset. Instead of being the technician, I have to be the manager who's going to solve the problem.
100%.
And not. But
no, I didn't know if you was done with that part. I just wanted to go to the funding side, too, is how likely is a business to succeed if they do have the proper funding versus those that don't? With your experience, you know, with working with your clients, how much more likely are they to succeed?
Yeah, it's like a 10x multiplier. Like, when you have the ability to withstand the storm, right? Like, back in the day when we were hunters and gatherers, right? If you didn't have enough food reserved for the winter, you was gone.
Yeah.
It's not if, but when the winter's coming, right? Like, it's not if you're a business owner, I already know you. Yo, if you still surviving after 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, I know that you've been stacking. You put some fish away. You put some food away, right? So I think the idea is that you have to go in with the mindset that, like, yo, I need to make sure I got reserves. And the other part is, like, when I talk about, like, the idea of, right, entrepreneur to business owners, that when you're a business owner, I'm not just feeding my family, I'm feeding other people's family.
That's a fact.
Right, so how am I gonna tell this man that just worked and bust his butt all week, dog? I can't feed him and his family. Right, how am I gonna tell my employees that? Right, like, should keep this set. That's not gonna work. But when you a leader, you figure it out. And sometimes when you a leader, and that's for me too. When you a leader, you go into your own pocket and make sure everybody eat before you do. Like, we've been negative, right? And I figured it out so everybody could eat. Right, I got back on my hustle. Right, and that's the other part about having and developing skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
See, for me, like, I'm also, like, do a ton with being an author, motivational speaker. I got real estate, right? So it's like, yeah, if I gotta go refi something, I'm gonna go refi something, go grab the bag real quick so we can go ahead and get going. But the biggest thing, I think, Jalen, going back to your question, to be very specific about it, is that when something bad happens, you can weather the storm, let's say with a line of credit, with some funding, because you understand that if you did the strategy right, that the money's out there, you're just having a problem. And you can get the money later, delay gratification. So I'll give you an example. We had one of my drivers, we had a truck go down. The truck went down for like 3 months. I paid him every week for 3 months, right? I paid him, I paid all my bills, and we bleeding money in the company, right? But because I did that, right? And I had the lines of credit and I had the, like, I was able to pay that money, right? And that was, like, I want to say just under $8,000 a month that, like, I got to pay for, right? So now we $25,000, right, in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
But what I know is once the wheels start turning, we start earning. Mm-hmm. So I have the ability to absorb that for 90 days. And then I can pay that back because now I'm only paying the minimum.
That's one of the things that I think about credit that people don't consider all the time as well, too, like, whenever you're not using other people's money, you're not using funding or leveraging, using your own money,
mm-hmm.
you're sitting here and you're playing a zero-sum game every time. Mm-hmm. If I got 10 bands and I spend 10 bands on investing into my business, now I have $0 and I got to go hustle that 10 back.
Mm.
Whereas it's like, if I use the funding, I don't have to give them the whole 10 back right then and there. I can give them $500 at a time and mm-hmm. use the 10 and still keep my 10.
Yes. And here's the other thing is that also understanding diversity of business credit. So 75%, 80% of what you need, you can get from a starter vendor. You can get from a fleet vendor. You can get from a gas. You can get from a store credit, right? From a Sam's, a Costco, an Apple, an Amazon card. You think about, like, office supply. You think about Home Depot and Lowe's. You think, right, like all the things that you can diversify those things, because so many times people come to me, they're like, I need $50,000. I need $100,000. But really, you need like 15 to 20. You might need 10, right, in cash. And you can get funding in these other lanes faster than someone's just going to give you cash, because to build that corporate credit that we talked about earlier, you need roughly 14 to 15 things reporting on your business credit, right? As we go through the tiers, once you have those 14 things, that's a mature, right? Like that,
so that's kind of like a benchmark number.
To get start getting cash cards based off of your EIN, not you.
Okay. So that's, when you say cash cards, we're talking cards that I can go, like how you did for the...
Like a revolving line of credit card.
Well, like revolving line, or like what you did with the 0%. Was that from a line of credit or a credit card that you were able to actually cash out with that one client?
And that's a good question. So to answer the first one, so with the one client, what we did there was we leveraged his personal credit, right, to go ahead and get him funding on his business side. So now it doesn't report, right, on his personal side, but he does get inquiries, which we get removed by a third-party company that we work with, right? And that usually takes about 60 to 90 days. And then on the other, because it's not connected to anything personally. And then on the other end, we were able to get him the funding. However, on under your EIN, we can get you MasterCard, Visa, right? Like all, like those types of, like that type of funding. Now, the idea there is that you're not, in the beginning, you're not going to go get $50,000, but you're going to get some lines, and those lines begin to increase because we use cards that actually report. 80% of the cards that are out there, like that American Express you got under your LLC, that Bank of America, that U.S. Bank, that Nate, those ain't reporting on your business credit.
They ain't sending nothing to the people that's reporting the paydays.
Now, it's good and bad, right? It's good from the standpoint of, right, it's not messing with the income utilization, right, if it's not reporting. Now, Inc. business, sometimes they report, but on the other hand, it's not helping you build your business credit. What we do is, at least we go, we help people do stuff, but what we do is personally that we get those cards that we know are going to report onto your business credit score, so that it's not only giving you funding, it's also helping you build business credit. But I'll tell you this, the one card I need y'all to stay away from, right? And they better not get mad at me, but people keep having it when I check their personal credit, is that green Spark card from Capital One.
Green Spark.
It's always like a green color, but like that's the Spark card from Capital One.
Yeah.
Don't get that, because
what's wrong with that one?
Because it's going to report. You think it's under your LLC? It's under your name, but it's reporting under your personal. Right.
So it's doing the exact opposite of what you want to get it for in the first place.
Correct. Because you want to make sure that your personal profile is so clean. I'll give you an example. In 2021. I did about just over $400,000 in auto financing and equipment loans, right? I was able to do some of that through corporate credit, but a lot of it came with them having to do a peekaboo, right? To look at do a personal guarantee or a peekaboo at my personal credit. But because my debt to income is under 7%, because I have a mature credit mix, I have age history, I don't have any like delinquencies on it, right? I'm able to leverage that personal credit to go get more trucks, to go get some cars that we have in Atlanta, right, that we rent out, to go ahead and get an executive lease apartment, right, those types.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned there's some cars that you do recommend. Now, would you mind sharing some of those cars that you do recommend for the business owners?
Okay. So if it's going to like what do you build? Like making sure the card fits the person.
Okay.
Right? So one thing is on your personal side, I'll tell you this.
What's up, everyone? Stacey Eich here from the Human to Human podcast and Recovering Perfectionist. If you're looking to explore your interpersonal relationships, have a safe space to reflect without shame, and deep dive into the many layers of being human, then come hang out with me on the Human to Human podcast, where I go deep with your favorite celebrities, tastemakers, and thought leaders. Be sure to check out and subscribe to Human to Human with Stacey Eich. That's the number two, not the word two, brought to you by the Revolt Podcast Network. I'll see you there.
When you're looking to build that up a little bit, don't get charge cards. Number one, because charge cards don't even tell you, like you go get that Amex Gold. And I know because I have it on my personal, but I didn't know this at the time. Amex Gold don't even give you a limit, right? You have spending power. So it doesn't even help you, right? But it does in the business side. So I gave you an example. Like, so I'm a big American Express fan, right? And it's all on who you are on the business side. I love, like, on the personal side, like, that cash back and all that, that's really good. But, like, on the business side, having a charge card, right, which, I mean, what I mean by charge card versus revolving credit, charge card being the card that you have to pay off within the month, right? Sometimes 60 days, I think, like, the Plum card that gives you 60, gives you extra 30 to pay it off, but you have it paid off. One, that's a good habit to have. So we're beating the lenders, not letting them beat us, because they want to make sure that we're paying.
Whenever you spend that much, you got to make sure you have it.
Correct. So use it more like a debit card, right? And then be able to just, you know, set up a time every week where you just, you transfer the money over, right? And you pay it off. But the reason why I like the charge card is that it's like a muscle, right? So when I use it for like my trucks, right? At first it's like, oh, well, you got $10,000 worth of spending power. Then it's like, oh, you got $30,000 worth of spending power, right? And you do the thing where you go online and you like, and it could tell you like how much. If you like, if you put $30,000, it'll be like yes, we'll accept it, or they'll be like no. So you can check it on the site. So, and I always say that with the face, because it's like, I remember being like 15,000, 20,000, right? It's like, oh snap. Then you're like 100. Okay, no. Too much difference. But as you start spending on it, then all of a sudden it's like 40,000, 50, 60.
Right, as you continue to make these payments, you're building that relationship and showing that positive credit. But with that card, like you said, it's not reporting to your business credit, but it still can help your business grow.
Yes, it can help your business grow, and it gives you, once again, more spending power based off of, I'll give you another example, is like if you have something where you're doing e-commerce, right? You got something with just high cash that you know I'm getting paid, but it might take me 60 days to get paid, or it might take me, but I can go ahead and then it's tens of thousands of dollars I'm putting down, maybe hundreds of thousands that I'm putting on this, right, per month. And then it's just gonna grow
to buy your inventory,
right? Stuff like that. So now when you go to get other things, like, hey, look, we about to go do this flip, right? I actually don't need a bridge loan from a hard money lender. I could mess around and, right, I could, if I wanted to, mess around and do some of the rehab myself through my Amex card. The other part is the points. Now those points add up a lot, a whole lot, but it's based off your lifestyle. I'm somebody where, right, I have one platinum card, right, and it's with Delta because I fly Delta a lot. Right, that helps me out. But really, like, I'm a Amex Gold fanatic, right? But even the cash back. When gas was real high, and I told you we had the car rental stuff, I was running my 5% cash back. Oh, I need all that just to fight inflation, right? But it's the point of what industry you're in, how you're utilizing it. Mm-hmm. The Amex Gold is great because I use that for business, but then I also sometimes, like, there's some business, but then personal things that I use it for, right? Right now, 2023, you only get 50% for meals. But the last 2 years, it was 100%, right? So if we kicking it, I'm paying the bill. Because I can get the points. B, I can write it off at the end of the year. And there's things that you have to write off when you have a business plan, strategy, and you're making income, mm-hmm. right? Those are some of the things that you want to make sure you do. Because once you hit that 2-year mark, the 3-year mark, and you start looking for lines of credit, you want that revenue funding, you want that SBA loan, you want the term loan, you want that 504, that 7A loan. If you ain't got your personal credit right, if your business ain't profitable, because taxes tells it all, mm-hmm. right? Taxes.
You can't write everything off.
You can't.
You want to get some funding from a bank.
The biggest thing, though, is, and one of my mentors put me on to, is that the biggest thing that you really want to do is if you're able to prove that you're a full-time real estate professional, then you're able, right, to write off things that then can come back.
We talked about it on the last episode. Mm-hmm. Episode before last with Eugene. He's talking about the cost segregation study.
So you do something like that. And I mean, I didn't see the episode, but what I tell y'all is this.
I said it to refer that he went in depth with it to explain how it works. Right. So if y'all want to learn about it, go back and listen to that episode.
Right, do that. So I would have people tap into that, because I could already tell that he probably gave some dope gems. The only thing, that thing I got is that you can go and you might be showing that you only made $30,000, $60,000 that year. But if you did it through real estate, mm-hmm. and you're able to show, right, that you did it through like writing off properties and writing off for the windows, for the, right, all that part, then you can get some of that money back. So you might be able to get $300,000 back because you did it on this apartment building you were working on. You did it on, so you can work some of those things out. But I would say cars that I like, well, banks that I like, Navy Federal always is right because they're a credit union. U.S. Bank, going with the business in card with Chase.
Chase Business.
They, man, listen, they be giving some really good limits, especially when you build a relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's also something that's big too, right? Making sure you build a relationship with these banks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, making sure that, like, you know, it's a marriage, right? It's not a one night stand. Like, you gotta go in and you gotta take them out for dinner a little bit. So that means you might have to have a personal account. You might have to have a business account. You might want to have like a business checking and savings. Mm-hmm. You want to go ahead, sometimes even right before you go funding. One of the gems I give my students is like, yo, put in $5,000, put in $2,500.
$5,000 is a good number because that's the kind of like a benchmark that lenders look at whenever they're looking at your account.
Yes. Banks usually work on 90-day cycles. So one of the easiest ways is to put something in, like $2,500. I like $5,000. $25 is the minimum. But put something like that in the bank account. Put it into a CD, mm-hmm. right? Make sure that they see that as more like security, right? Like, oh, it's been here for a little bit. They look at it. And then when you go apply and say, hey, I want that line of credit. I want a business credit card. Making sure that, like, the banks you work with, A, even offer those things. Because there's people who have money in banks that, like, they don't have any services for them. You know, but that also leads you to, like, some people are like, I don't have the money or I don't have the credit. Well, if you're looking to get into, like, me being able to help you get those 0% interest cards to get the cash out, if you ain't got the 720, 750 credit, 700 credit score, you could always use your partner's credit. So it might be a family member. It might be somebody that you partnering with, but we could use their credit under the LLC. So that's the other part. You can utilize that credit to go ahead and be able to get this funding. And then the only thing that goes back on them is they get an inquiry. And the only thing that they need to worry about is, as long as you have a good business plan, which you might need to show them, you need to go ahead and be able to go get that funding. So I'll give you an example. Like my cousin, we do some stuff and he does construction, but his credit ain't there. So we wanted to buy some properties. So he wanted to do under his name, but I was like, yeah, you can't do it. We're going to leverage my credit to go ahead and do that. Now that worked out because I'm somebody who's going to get me an equity pull in it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the same time, it's like if it's family or friends that just want to help you out, they could, or you can just do a partnership. And then that also helps you to be able to leverage that to get the capital that you need. But also if someone has cash and they just got it sitting in a bank, you might go, hey, look, can I, let's take $5,000 of that, let's take $10,000 of that. And then we can go ahead and go run this play.
That's smart.
So I did, before we pivot into the last questions, I did want to give you a scenario. So I'm a listener. I own a trucking company.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty well. We've been listening. We picked up on Profit First whenever they shared it. So we got cash reserves.
Yeah, talk to me.
Our money's sitting in the soft side. We got a profit account. You know what I'm saying? We got money back there. We look good to the lenders, to say the least. I have a relationship with a bank, but I'm trying to get $50,000 to $100,000 in funding. What are the last things that I need to make sure that I'm going to get that money?
Okay. So you have a relationship with a bank. Mm-hmm. You want 50 to 100K. And you got cash reserves in that bank?
I got cash reserves in that bank.
You got a relationship?
Got a relationship.
Okay.
I got a banker that I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess not even just... Let's say not even going to a specific bank. What would be the best type of place for me to go to get funded?
I got it. So you're going to hear different scenarios on like how you want to get it. Like if you want for like no doc, you might go ahead and you want to leverage multiple banks, mm-hmm. right? And be like, hey, look, having that relationship with like, let's say three banks and then being able to get some funding through all three and then making sure you understand where they're reporting to, right? So if one does, if it's KeyBank, they're going to go through Equifax. Mind you, it's also regional. Always remember that. When you hear people talking about what banks go to what credit union,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times it's regional.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's the other thing that when
KeyBank might go to TransUnion here, and in Florida it might go to Equifax.
Mm-hmm. It might be the same, it might be different. So you have to understand your market and where you're at, and don't be afraid to ask when you go there, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to do that, so you'll see that part of like, hey, you're in a good spot now, you can go to them and making sure that if you're looking for like a line of credit, you got to make sure your taxes is right, and you got to make sure your bank account looks right. So the biggest thing is there is just having no, like, making sure you always have enough sufficient funds in your bank account and making sure that, that you have an account there where you don't have a lot of small incidentals. You got cash flow in and then limited cash flow out. But like daily deposits, they love, right? So something that's always great is having, right, like these like residual passive payments that are always coming in. Mm-hmm. So like I said, for trucking, it's easy because you usually get in you 5, 6 days, 7 days out the week, you get in deposits,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's, that's why banks love that, right? They love seeing that right, that money coming in. So I would say really the idea is just making sure that you already have the relationship, you with the bank, building a relationship with the relationship manager, understanding the underwriting terms. Just go ahead and apply for the card and line of credit. Like there's some banks you can go to and you can get both, right? And it only hits you with one pull, right? So that's the other thing, right? Just talking them through. But as you're building a relationship, you also receive information.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you get information on like, all right, how the process goes. So I would say the biggest thing for me is just making sure that like, yeah, you do that. But if you're going no doc, obviously that's through a credit card. If you're going with documentation, right, you got to make sure you have a couple of those, right? Your tax returns are right. And making sure that like your cousin's not doing your tax returns. Right. I know like you got your spouse doing it. It's cool. But like eventually, right, at least start off having QuickBooks. Right. Get that Intuit. Mm-hmm. Right. Set that up with your online banking. Go ahead and tap in with people like, you know, Carter Cofield. Tap in with my girl. She helped me out a couple of times. Miss Business. Right. With Brooks Alliance. Yo, big shout outs over there. They like,
yeah. Shaman, shout out to Shaquan and Carter. Yeah,
yeah. Shout out to
listen to both the episode.
Magnolia Tech Services too. My guy Eugene.
See, yeah, and make sure you work with people who will teach you. That's the biggest thing, right? I love working with CPAs that are going to teach me along the way, right? That I can do the planning with them, mm-hmm. right? Like that, right now, we're not planning for last year, right? Right now, actually, like I'm letting them like do what they do because this is a busy time. But come May, June, like we doing some more planning. Mm-hmm. Right. And we're looking and trying to make sure that we have a strategy, but make sure that so the taxes look right based on what my future goals are. So that's why you got to have the business plan, because if your goals are like, hey, look, I'm looking to purchase next year a lot of things, then you got to make sure maybe you have a little more revenue shown versus if I'm just like, I don't need to make any big purchases, then I'm going to go ahead and maybe I can write off some more things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just stuff like that.
Being strategic, yeah, like we talked about. So, Malik, my brother, definitely mm-hmm. has been a pleasure. I'm going to pivot to the last few questions that we have for you now. So, for me, I want to ask, what's a financial principle that you live by to ensure that, like, you're securing your wealth?
Oh, I'm securing my wealth. I would say that I live by is that I almost want to pull it. Matter of fact, I'm just going to pull it up because I was on a flight and I was writing it down and we was right there. First you trade your money for time to get income. Then you trade your money for time that gains you leverage. Then you trade your money for more money that gains you freedom.
Hmm.
So just my you know, notes on your phone, you just be vibing. So yeah.
That's good. That's so deep. Can you repeat that one more time?
Leveraging your money to create time, and then leveraging your money to create, goddamn.
When you work a job, right? You're trading your money for time, right? To get income. You're trading your time for money to get income, mm-hmm. right? Then you're trading your money for time when you start a business, right? You want to make sure that you're buying your time back. That gives you leverage so you can do higher leverage things, right? And some of the higher leverage things is just time with your family, bro. Time with the people you care about that you love, because you can't get that time back.
Right.
And then you trade your money for more money, right? And that gains you freedom. And that's when you get into like, right, like the cash flow quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of went from employee, self-employed, business owner to investor, right? So you put in so you can get more out.
I like that. I like that.
For sure.
So one of my first questions is, are you frugal or are you a flexer?
Ooh. I can't be both.
He's a frugal lecturer.
You're a frugal lecturer.
You're a frugal lecturer. Listen, whatever you feel like you are.
Let's keep it a set. I like spending money that comes from money I don't like spending money that comes from money I directly made. I like spending money that comes from passive income I made. And that money, I definitely would flex with. And I think my flex is different, right? My flex is taking the kids to Disney, right? Bringing the family to Spain, right? Like, I'm a family man. So, like, being able to, you know, provide for my kids in a certain way, right? And experiences. Like, so if that's a flex, then yeah.
That's what's up. My second question is, what are you doing to build and pass down wealth for your family?
Ooh. So something I learned a while ago was like, yo, there's no rules, right? And for
you talking about to life,
to like to all of it, and that there's no camera following me. So like the number one thing I started to learn was like, yo, if I don't quit, even when I fail, I take no losses, only lessons. And then with them lessons comes compound interest, because those lessons, right? A strong storm makes you a skilled sailor, right? A windstorm makes trees grow deeper roots. So for me, once I learned that understanding, like I stopped caring about the immediate and started just being all on like a lot of delayed gratification, and I leverage everything. And if you know anything, like I think you leverage capital for the business, but like I leverage everything so that I can make more income to buy things that eventually allow me to put money into my kids' Fidelity account, that allow me to buy into more real estate, that allow me to start different revenue streams. And then I would really say, to keep it funky with you, that we make money and then we build sustainable wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's generational wealth. But I focus mostly on regenerational wealth at this point in my life. And the idea that like I want to give my kids not just the money, but the blueprint. See, the money gonna go into trust. I don't trust them. Right? I trust but verify. Like when I'm gone, right? Like I got some stipulations to touch this. But I need to show y'all the blueprint, because that's always gonna be strong. Mm-hmm. Can't nobody take that away from me.
Once you got the blueprint, you can keep or multiply the money.
Yeah, like when my daughter comes with me and she's 8 and we go, and I got two older ladies that I still like, they love like making cookies and giving the kids stickers, and I bring my daughter, my 8-year-old or my 5-year-old with me to go do that, and she's able to ask certain questions now. They start to the 8-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, yo, like dad, we used to live here, or like I know this spot, like we own this. And it's like, yeah, we own this. But there's compassion and capitalism. Like we give people a good place to live in, but at the same time they pay us for that. So when she sees me get the rent money, I have accounted now. And like, all this ain't mine, right? Because she's like, oh, we rich. I'm like, nah. So this goes to the mortgage. This goes for taxes. This is how we pay this. This is how much we net. And then what do we do with this money? Right? We don't go spend it like that. What can we put it into? You like that doll, or you like these Nike sneakers? Let's buy some Nike stock. Right, let's look into some of those things. Right now, her brain thinks differently. Mm-hmm. Right, she came to me the other week and was like, "Yo, I want to start a business." And I'm like, "Oh, you want to start? Yeah, I want to do like a little cooking show, and I want to show kids, you know, how to bake cookies." And okay, you got a title, you got a mission statement. What's your vision? Where you want to take this?
Did she have one of those answers?
What opportunities you have? How much money you need? How you gonna pay me back? Right, and she like, "All right." Came up with a name. Well, this is, you know, we started looking it up on the trade, like, oh, we can't use that name. We added, right? And it was just, I think she wanted to do like Wonder Cookies. And there was like a kid out of California that had it. And we were like, she's like, I want to do Wonder Blast Cookies. And I want to name, okay, so how's that going to resonate with you? Right? And we just started going through and we spent time at night doing that. And we just made a project. And we're still working on it. And it's like, cool. And you go, she get. And then she hit me with like, I'm going to have a QR code and it's going to show. I'm like, what? That's regenerational, fam. Right? And when you talk about your legacy, that's everything. You know, like I don't get to live a million days. Right? I only got so many summers left. Right? And it's not what I love my family. It's not how I love on them. It's what I leave in them. Mm. Right? Like that's what matters.
That's good. So my last question is, do you have life insurance?
100%. And to the point of, I remember when I had a couple of dollars, right? Just because I was like, look, my mama ain't going to bury me with, you know, no turkey dinners. But when you start understanding, right, like, what's the fastest way to generate wealth is real estate and life insurance. Right? So, one, we have a life insurance plan on my mother, me and my brothers, that we pay on. Right? Not saying that we want anything to happen, but the idea is that
everybody's got to die.
Right. And then the idea is that money is going to come down and help our children or her grandchildren or her great grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's a whole vibe. But the other part is making sure that I increase my money as I have more kids, because it's not just about what we have now. First, I got to cover the things that we had. Then I had to think about, I had to cover my income. Then you got to think about, right, like I think in a way of like, I'm thinking, I got to cover college. I got two girls. I got to cover two weddings. I got to cover the first car. I got to cover, right, like, right, because when you a father, right, especially with girls, like, you signed up. And I want to cover all that. I want to take care of, like, that's my role. That's my job, right? That's what gets me up in the morning. But even if I die, I got to make sure I got a plan, right, that lives longer than me.
Mm. That's good.
That's true provision.
Dang. I like that. Well, Malik, thank you for coming through, my brother. Thank you for flying out to H-Town to come kick it with us. Please let the people know, where can they tap into you? Where can they follow you? Keep up with anything that you got going on.
Yeah,
we're going to make a special announcement after this, too.
So, all right. Number one. So my name is, once again, it's Malik Champlain. My business is You Leverage Capital. Where you can find me is at Leverage with Malik on Instagram. We got a website, youleveragecapital.com. We have a free downloadable 4-step guide to get you set up for your business credit. So go to youleverage.com, get that free 4-step guide. That is the very first thing to get you.
$3.99.
Bruh, to get you started. Why? Because we got to get our people there. We got to get y'all going. And then if you want some free tips on that Leverage with Malik on Instagram, 5-6 days a week, I'm giving you gems all day, right? The game is to be told. Thanks. Like, I'm giving you bars. And never mind, right? Our partnership that we got.
Yes,
right? We got, look, You Leverage is.
You Leverage is powering the financial funding side of Black Wealth Renaissance, man. We're trying to get y'all out here and get y'all pockets together, man. I heard us mention it before. BlackWealthRenaissance.com/funding. It takes you to You Leverage. And can you tell them more about the amazing business credit suite, man?
Man, listen, we have a online platform that gives you 24/7 access to not only setting up your business credit profile, but also going and making sure that you go through the steps. And we do that in a white glove, tailored service. I'm talking hand in hand, where we have a team that works with you from Monday through Friday. They're available from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. You're getting this unique selling position because we want to make sure you get there, and it's an open book test versus you shooting in the dark to go ahead and get your business funding. So I need you, right, to tap in with the team and also see what they don't show us, which is us collaborating, right? Because these are not my competition. This is my resource.
Appreciate it, my brother. And the announcement that I wanted to make is, in April, we're going to be doing a boot camp together as well. So I just want y'all to be on the lookout for that and be really, really tapped in. We're about to get y'all ready and get y'all prepared to take everything to the next level.
Yes, sir. So look, y'all interested in that boot camp, y'all make sure that y'all fill out this questionnaire for us, guys. So this is where I need y'all to go. Go to BlackWealthRenaissance.com/leverage. Again, that's BlackWealthRenaissance.com/leverage. Fill out the form and it'll help you stay tapped into everything we got coming up.
Man, listen. Y'all some dope brothers, yo. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. My
brother, for sure.
Nah, no problem. Okay.
Thank you so much for coming and joining us today. Any house cleaning?
Nah, I ain't got no house cleaning. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. Once again, make sure y'all leave us that 5-star rating and review. Make sure you like and share this with somebody. Share this with a family member or a friend. Continue helping us to grow. Until next time, this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out.
Peace.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.